Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome to the show. This is the 12th month, and this is the 6th day of December, and the year is 2001. We're live tonight on Truth Radio. Glad to have you aboard. Call a friend and neighbor and tell them that we're on the air. Praise Yahweh. And we are very encouraged today. We've had a wonderful, magnanimous, magnificent day as we have been going about the Father's business. The brother from Spain just got in yesterday, and today he was baptized in the great name of Yahweh before witnesses, and we had a wonderful, wonderful fellowship day seeing men and women coming from near and far. We've got folks coming from around the nation and absolutely around the world now as we are preaching the gospel of truth of Revelation, that repentance and baptism in the great, magnificent name of Yahweh is the key to the door. Well, tonight we're going to continue our teaching series on the consolation, and tonight we're into the seventh phase of our teaching process, and we're into to the consolation of Pisces. This is one of our favorite. Last night we did Aquarius, and we had a wonderful, wonderful time of bringing about the knowledge that is hidden from most people and out of view. And it's like the old saying, what is ever is out of sight is out of mind. That is the way Jacob Israel has preferred the last 2,500 years or so of sleeping in the wilderness and not being responsible for the knowledge. And today, ladies and gentlemen, that is changing all over the world. People are waking up to the fact of our identity, knowing who we are, knowing our great heritage. And we are in a warfare tonight, folks, and that is that we are systematically being destroyed from within by the enemy that has crept in unaware. And Paul made mention that he said, I know that after my departure, talking to the house of Israel, that there shall be grievous wolves enter in, not sparing the flock. Well, that is happening across the world tonight, praise Yahweh. Wherever Yahweh's Israelite people congregate, the enemy is at work systematically trying to undermine, destroy, or make null and void the objectives that we have. You see, we are charged with the responsibility of subduing the earth and making it fruitful and bringing in the kingdom age of light and revelation. But Satan's job is to come in as children of light and yet bring darkness. The Bible says in the last days that evil men shall wax worse and worse, and that's true. Even as we speak, there is worldwide trouble tonight. We are in despair, we are stressed and in distress, and we should really be flying the flag upside down instead of right side up, and that is a sign of distress. Our nation and those knowledgeable know what I'm talking about. Now, if you don't know what's going on around, underneath and above you, then you will be as those who the scriptures speak of are blind and dumb sheep that cannot understand. Well, tonight, let's get into some of the revelation facts of the scriptures as they give these clear indications that we could know the truth and the truth can make us free. Now, we're going to go into the consolation of Pisces, and it's called the fishes, meaning that there are two fish found in the consolation of Pisces. Now, it has 113 stars. And I talked to you last night about the significance of the 113. There are 13 tribes chosen in Jacob Israel. One means the eternal God that we serve, Yahweh, and that is our Heavenly Father. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, we're the only one on the earth, come to think about it, is that we magnify Yahweh and we worship Him, and He is our God, or in Hebrew, He is our Elohim. We are the only ones on the earth that claim Him. All others deny or use other gods. And so it is that He probably is an Aryan God. That means that the white race, the called chosen ones of Jacob Israel, the ones chosen to bless the rest of the seeds here upon the earth. You see, we come to be a blessing. And we've actually turned this world into Sodom and Gomorrah with the evil ones who have come in and sowed the tares among us. And if there's anything that is worse than evil, and that is a Israelite that has gone bad. Now, let's go into the scriptures here and talk about what the Messiah talked about, and that is when he came, and I told you he came in the age of Pisces, meaning it's the fish age where we catch the fish that are to be caught in the net, and then at the end, we draw the net to the shore, and then we have a sorting, sort of, or a selection process, meaning that we keep the good fish and all the bad are thrown away or taken away. You see, it is like most people today, they're not worrying about the world situation because they've been taught and told that they're going to be raptured out and they won't have to go through any tribulation. We've got these prophets, these false prophets, these braying jackasses, as I refer to them at some time, that are telling their flock that they are to be raptured out and they won't have to go through any suffering. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you will just look in the constellation of Pisces tonight, you'll see the bound fish that are there, praise Yahweh. And remember, I gave you the analogy that there shall be a separation day of the good and the bad. And every time, starting from the flood of Noah, you see Noah remained. He wasn't raptured out. It was the wicked that was raptured out, ladies and gentlemen, and the righteous remain. It is the righteous are designated inheritors of the earth. The wicked will not inherit the earth. They will be taken away. Again, we go to the scenario that Lot went through in Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, Lot was kept and the wicked were taken away. Also, as it is in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, Yahweh said himself again, as it was in those days, so shall it be in thy coming. Meaning that the righteous will remain and the wicked will be taken away. You see, light and darkness has no fellowship. And if you don't start at some point in your life of trying to catch up and identify yourself with the correct teachings of Yahweh, then you have no hope. Now, the figures in the constellation of Pisces represent the constellation, and it consists of two large fishes displayed, tied one to another. Now, what does that symbolize? Well, it symbolizes the tribes of Israel and Judah. You see, Judah was always a separate, meaning that she was a nation unto herself, and then the two fishes, Judah and Israel, were bound together. Now, we have history that tells us that they warred constantly among themselves and with others. So you see, we are looking back at the historical facts, and in the constellation of Pisces, we see this displayed exactly. Also, if we look at this mirrored image of America, we are divided in the Civil War as North and South. You go back to the original state of Israel and Palestine, and they were aligned south and north, meaning that Israel was the northern kingdoms and Judah was the southern kingdom. And so it is in the United States, only it's a flip reverse. In the reverse of this, it was Judah to the north and Israel to the south. And so the reverse of the kingdom, meaning that it parallels or it identifies or it types itself into revelation that you might know and understand. You see, this is what we call the New Jerusalem, and we are still at war even among ourselves. And that's what the two fishes bound together represent. Now, one is headed toward the North Polar Star. Now, isn't that strange? As the North Polar Star, it changes as the equinox season changes, and the ecliptic band, it goes around. Actually, it is 2,155 years that this procession goes around. And then we have a change of the constellations. Now, we are moving in, as I told you last night, out of the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius. And it's very significant, and the meaning is very, very purposefully accounted for in the scriptures, as we indicated last night in Luke 22:10, where it states emphatically there, go to a man bearing a pitcher of water. It just so happens to be that the sign of Aquarius in the heavens is a man depicted carrying an urn or a pitcher of water upon his shoulders. And underneath his feet, as this great flow comes out of the water pot, he is watering or giving life to the fishes that are bound in the net below. That symbolizes Israel, and the water is the water of salvation coming from the crucified one. Now, let us look at the distance that they're apart. They are bound together by a band, as I have said, which is also fashioned to the neck of Cletus, the sea monster. Now, this awful sea monster is none other than the life that we live here to bind us together in the flesh. You had no choice. You came here without a choice, ladies and gentlemen. You woke up one morning, and you were spanked into reality from your mother's womb, and you knew not how you come forth. Well, that's a whole another teaching as we conclude how you are purposefully, before the foundation of the world, that you were ordered and you were given a name before the foundation of the world. And before you ever come forth in the womb, the Father knew you. And here it is. And the ancient Egyptian name of this constellation, as it shows on the zodiac of Dendera in Egypt, is Picot Orion, which is Pisces Hora, meaning the fish prolonged. Given the ideal of posterity or successive generations. But the Hebrew name is Dagom, meaning the fishes. In the Arabic as well as the Greek and Latin names, it is also designated that this is the constellation of the fishes, meaning the two. In the shooting upward, it is pictured as the heavenly calling of Israel and her functioning as his kingdom, fulfilling its spiritual requirements, and the other keeping on the horizontal answers to the fact that the kingdom is established upon earth and is the inheritor not only of the spiritual blessings, but the material blessings and promises made to Abraham and his seed. You see, the Father wrote this in the stars, in the constellations, before ever there was a man. He declared the end from the beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, this is too marvelous at times to really comprehend and believe that our Heavenly Father had such foresight that he could declare the end from the very beginning. Now, being two in number, it expresses the potential of the multitudes. As we find in Genesis 48:16, Jacob blesses the two sons of Joseph, saying, let them grow into a multitude as fishes. That's in a marginal note now, a multitude of fishes in the midst of the earth. This was a continuance of God's covenant with Abraham when he stated emphatically that in blessing I will bless you, Abraham, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed, listen to this, as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if that came true, what nation of people fulfilled that prophecy? Did that little nation in Palestine, which has only had since 1948, less than 50 years of existence after the exile of the 12 tribes of Israel, what nation has fulfilled that prophecy? What race of people? It certainly is not that little minority Jewish clan that claims Judaism as their religion. This race is not Jewish. When I talk about the Jewish race, I'm talking about the seed of Judah. This seed, if you will read history, was also, after the 721 exodus of the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom, the southern tribe, with the miscegenation of Benjamin incorporated into Judah, she became evicted from her own land in 538, and she was also driven out of the land. So both Judah and Israel, the whole 12 tribes that I mentioned to you last night, that is mentioned in the book of James, verse 1 of chapter 1, where it says, Paul writing to the 12 tribes of Israel scattered abroad. They did not go back to Palestine to hunt Israel, ladies and gentlemen. They went into the isles where Yahweh had driven them, in the early B.C. They had already been evicted from the land, and there was only a remnant. Isaiah spoke of it in the book of Romans, prophesied and repeated by Paul as he spoke in the prophecy, except Yahweh had have left us a seed. This seed was the remaining of Israelites and Judah's seed that were left when the Messiah came. It was a remnant. Now, they have since been dispersed because in 70 A.D., the remaining dispersed was completed when the Romans came in and they tore down the temple and they scattered the holy seed into the far isles of the earth. Now, recently, 1948, when the mandate from the British was given that Jacob Israel should return. Israel did not return, ladies and gentlemen, and neither did Judah. Who returned was the imposters. This is the greatest hoax in history, how that we have been duped into thinking that God's chosen people came home in 1948, when in reality, if you was to look at the population that is makes up Israel today and Palestine, less than 1% would probably be direct bloodline descent of the blood of Jacob. The remaining would be the Khazaric blood that came out of Gomer and Magog. This race of Eastern Turkish descent had no relationship to the house or the seed of Jacob Israel. Now, this is astonishing, but that's what is depicted in the Consolation. It's all written there for your learning and for your benefit. Now, notice this, and the possession of the gates of thine enemies, only one nation has fulfilled that prophecy, and that was Great Britain in the early stages of her rise to power. In the last 200 years or so, these two nations, Great Britain and America, fulfills the prophecy of the 12 tribe kingdoms scattered abroad, beginning from the British Isles through Western Europe, into Denmark in the northern foremost reaches, and finally into North America, where the Aryan fathers settled, and we have a rich history that is tried purposefully to be hid from the eyes of the sleeping giant of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the lost Luma stone that is located in New Mexico. Upon this stone, an ancient stone, no one knows the origin. No one knows the time that it was placed there. And yet, in this huge stone in Los Lumas, written in ancient paleo language, this predates even the Babylonian era of the square script Hebrew, which was spoken of 2,000 years ago as Aramaic. So then this ancient paleo language on a desert, very obscured place in the desert in Los Lumas, New Mexico, you'll find the stone written upon it, the Ten Commandments with the name of Yahweh emblazed upon this in paleo two times. You see, when our ancient fathers and when the Mormons have a book of records saying that the Hebrews were in here predating the Indians, ladies and gentlemen, take my word for it, that is correct. Now, if that is correct, and then our ancient forefathers were in here predating the Indians, how did they get here? Well, remember that the tribe of Dan and other coastal Israelites that were living on the coast were expert sailors, and they had ships that would go afar. We believe that they got in the western trade winds, and they were blown off course purposefully by the Father, and as they drifted out, this large armada of ships came to landed in North America and began to settle in here, even predating the Indians. Now, this is amazing, but some of the history of America, we call it the lost history, the ones that is not written in the history books, the ones that somebody here doesn't want you to know about as they keep systematically destructing the history of this great nation and hiding it from you. Now we have been clothed into looking into the situation now where that we don't even have any semblance of history that we studied back in the 40s when I was going to school. The books have changed that much, ladies and gentlemen. Now give it another 100 years and you won't even recognize the Aryan white race here in America. There will be none. President Clinton said in his opening address to the Latin American Congress that was convening in California, he looked out over the congregation and he said, "You are my ideal of what America is to look like in the future." So then we see a deliberate plot and plan for this mixing of the races so that the white race no longer is the dominant blessed race in the earth. Now why? Because it is a plan to destroy the seed of Jacob Israel. Now, we have an enemy, and that's what we're waking up to find out that our country is now going down the tubes while we sleep on as Jacob Israel. Now, notice then, "And in thy seed, Christ," meaning that his seed will be blessed, "shall all the nations of the earth," that's Jacob Israel, "be blessed." Because when the Messiah came, what was his command to those that he made fishermen of men in the Piscean Age? "Go only," this is in the book of Matthew chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, "go only to the lost sheep," or to the lost fish, if you will, "of the house of Israel." And they followed that command. They didn't go back to Israel to preach the gospel, ladies and gentlemen. They fanned out far and wide, and they began to be fishermen of those who were in exile, and we're talking about Jacob Israel. Well, we're down at the bottom of that. We're going to come back in the second half, and we're going to conclude the constellation of Pisces as we go about our duty of telling you about the hidden things of Yahweh. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Stay tuned. Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call. Well, welcome back, friends. This is Pastor Buddy. You listen to Shepherd's Call tonight. Praise Yahweh. We're live and direct on Truth Radio, and we are in the constellation of Pisces, and we are bringing you the information identification process that the Father has painted there in a giant mural, if you will, a picture. And as the old saying goes, a picture is worth a thousand words. And fishes also stand as the symbol of the individual believers in Christ. The Messiah called and appointed the first ministers, and he said to them, as he appointed them, "I will make you fishermen of men." That's in the book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. In the parable of the dragnet, God's people are again contemplated as fishes in the Old Testament. Fishes also stand for the multitude of people. God told the Israelites, "Behold, I will send for many fishers, and they shall fish for them." Jeremiah 16 and 16. "And there shall be every one a great multitude of fish, because these waters shall become hither." Ezekiel 47 and verse 9. So out of these fish symbols in the constellation of Pisces, the gospel was begin to be preached. Now, I told you that it's very important. Now, astrology, meaning those that are false called astrologers, they open the band in the sacred circle. They open it in the constellation of Aries, and they begin their count process in the constellation of Aries. That is false. That is a false astrologers. But if you would go back and break it into Virgo, the Virgin, as she is the appointed one to bring forth the man-child. This is the one appointed to pay the deficient price that we ourselves could not and were not capable of paying for ourselves. See, we had to have a Savior. And so if you will pick up the picture as the Father painted it and go from a Virgo all the way around the 12 constellations back to Leo, you will get a clear picture of what Yahweh was talking about. Now, the gospel is also likened unto this net, which the minister is the servant of Yahweh. He spreads in the net into the waters in order to enclose and gather men, destroy them, but to secure them for himself, that when they are secured and brought within the enclosure of the influences and the laws of the gospel of Christ, these are now professed followers. They are his mystical fishes that he caught in his command and direction and made his election and calling sure for the house of Israel. Now we're going to get into the minor constellations, and the first constellation in the constellation of Pisces is called the band. This is a band of stars in which are included in the count of the constellation of Pisces, and the band has always formed a separate constellation, believe it or not, Antariah, an Albanian poet of the 6th century, frequently mentioned it as the distinct constellation from the constellation which with it is closely connected in Pisces. The Arabic name of the star group is Al-Risha, meaning the band or the bridle. The Egyptians called it U, or which means he cometh. This corresponds to the relationship of the coming one to his redeemed, or the master fisherman for the fish. And I will draw them out with the cords of a man, with the bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, in Hosea 11 and 4. The bands that bind the fishes are also fashioned to the neck of Cletus, the sea monster, in the constellation of Pisces, which shows that Israel is bound and oppressed by the enemies of God, but her deliverance is drawing near. Praise Yahweh. Pictured by the paw of the ram, lying across the double part of the band as though about to be loosed, the bands are set and the captives freed. The Messiah redeemed Israel and set them free from the penalty of the law, so that they can come once again before him as his people and establish his kingdom upon the earth, which is the sole purpose of the battle here. For Yahweh hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Jeremiah 31, verse 11. Modern Israel, of which America is a part, is still bound politically, economically, and ecclesiastically. The next of the minor constellation of Pisces also tells the story of a captive Israel, Andromeda, chained and afflicted. So the second phase of the giant constellation of Pisces is Andromeda, and it consists of 63 stars, 3 of the second magnitude and 12 of the fourth, and so on and so forth. This giant band is a picture of a beautiful woman with chains fastened to her feet and arms in such a manner that she is unable to rise. That is the church, ladies and gentlemen, that is bound by Satan upon the earth. Remember, we are captives. The Bible talks about us as being pilgrims. Pilgrims, what is a pilgrim? Someone that is not at home upon this earth. We are like fish out of water. We don't belong here. We belong from whence we came. So then, we are the fish out of water. But I have also told you that the age of Aquarius gives us the outpouring where much strength will form in the next 2,000 years of our existence here as the church of the firstborn. Praise Yahweh. Now, this image of a chained woman is in a long line, like the links of a chain or the knots in a cord from the Milky Way to the corner of the great square of Pegasus. Even when the maiden was not recognized, the ideal of bonds were persisted. The Arabs pictured a seal chained by the neck to the fainter lines of the stars underneath it. So there was a bound woman represented by the church, and she's still bound, ladies and gentlemen, in the earth, because, you see, it's not the church that rules the earth. It is still Babylon. And Babylon, we the fishes, must swim in the waters of Babylon until the time comes that the chain will be cut and the bonds loosened from off the fish and the net opened and the judgment day begins. Remember what it says? Let them, as he talked about the parable of the sower, he said not to root up the evil, but to let them remain. And most people get very, very perplexed and try to bring down Babylon by doing foolish and hurtful things, speaking out against certain governments and things of this nature. It's not wise to do that, ladies and gentlemen. What you need to concentrate on is the saving of Jacob Israel. Yahweh himself will bring down Babylon at the appointed time. In the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, she is to fall in one day and one hour. So you can look for that, and that won't be by you. It'll be by grand design, by the consolation message that we have, and we'll get into that as we go in toward the 12th is Leo. In the Dendera, in the Zodiac, the woman is named Set, which means set upon as a queen. In Hebrew, she is Sarah, the chained. The brightest star in her head is called in Arabic Al-Pizrah, meaning the broken down. Other stars and their meanings are Mirach, in Hebrew, the weak. It is like the woman is struck down or the afflicted one. Well, I guarantee you that everyone comes into the Church of the Living Yahweh will feel like that they are struck down and afflicted and separated from the world, and we are the afflicted ones, praise Yahweh. Why? Because the Bible said, all the earth shall hate you because of my name. Thus all the stars in this constellation speak of to us of Israel today, a captive daughter of Zion, bound and fettered economically and spiritually, waiting, and I repeat, waiting for the coming one for deliverance from her enemies who compass her within and without. Shake thyself from the dust, it is recorded. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Talking about the consolation of Andromeda, meaning that you have sold yourself for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money, Isaiah 52:2 and verse 3. And the daughter, the virgin daughter of my people, is broken with a great breach, with a grievous blow. And this is all indicated in the constellation of Andromeda as we look into the classic mythology surrounding this great constellation of Andromeda. Has obstructed or obscured but failed to fully hide the symbology of this sign. The fables say that she was the daughter of Cepheus and Castanopia, promised to her uncle Phineas in marriage. When Neptune sent a flood and a sea monster to ravage the country, this was in answer to the resentful clamors of the favorite nymphs against Castanopia, because she boasted herself fairer than Juno, and the mythology goes on and on. But the stars of Andromeda were also known in Chaldea centuries before Greek and Roman legends, meaning going back to the Mesopotamian area, that she was, as we have indicated, the chained, beautiful woman representing the church upon the earth, the fallen spiritual one that can't rise until she has help from her husband, which is the Father. And he's coming back in flame and fire to set the captives free. That was his purpose, ladies and gentlemen, to free us from this great sea monster that is portrayed in the heavens. We have no great difficulty in recognizing Israel as a Christian nation today as the beautiful Andromeda. Although redeemed at Calvary, she is surrounded by world power. You see, Yahweh didn't put down the Roman rule, but he said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto Yahweh that which is Yahweh. Be a law-abiding citizen, whatever state that you're in, be content. If you're in Rome, do as doeth the Romans, and obey the rule that they have over you, to the point that you can live at peace with all men, if possible. Now, there's coming a day when the laws will be so exact and so oppressive that we will mourn and groan under the chains of bondage. And then we will rise up, and then the Bible says, we shall set the captives free. Now, in the marriage blessings, he who hated her and threatened her destruction is written in the book of Revelations. Remember, it says, when the serpent was cast out into the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. Well, the woman symbology is the church. And the man-child is the redeemed seed that come to set the captives free. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we have an enemy here upon the earth as the Church of the Living One. Now, we're going into the third and the final of the minor constellations in the constellation of Pisces, and that is Cepheus, a crowned king. It consists of 35 stars. Here is a presentation of a crowned king wearing his royal robe and enthroned in the brightest and the highest of the heaven. He bears aloft a scepter, and his foot is over the pole star. His Greek name is Cepheus, is from the Hebrew, which means the branch. His Ethiopian or name is Hayek, meaning a king. In the zodiac of Dendera in Egypt, the figure of this sign is a large front animal of a leg of an animal connected with a small figure of a sheep, in the same posture as Aries is in the next constellation. The Egyptians called this sign Piku Ahura, which means the one that cometh to rule. And so then, the picture painted of a great royal king sitting in this giant constellation as a crowned one with a club in his hand, returning his head and his mind is pointed directly toward the earth. And that's where we look for redemption. Is there any doubt as to the meaning of this constellation? It is dispelled by the meaning of the star names that make up this sign. The brightest star in the right shoulder of the great king is called Aldrimenon, which means he that cometh quickly. The next brightest star in the girdle is named in Arabic Alpirik, which means the Redeemer comes. The third brightest star in the left knee is called Al-Raya, meaning he who bruises or breaks. Ladies and gentlemen, he's coming back to bruise the head of the serpent and to break the bonds of captivity from the chained woman, Jacob Israel, the church, that is in bondage and oppressed here as pilgrims and strangers upon the earth. And what a great, great, wonderful, wonderful show and display in the constellation of Pisces. Know it so much. When we consider that the scriptures tells us of the exaltation and the glory of the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, it is impossible to mistake the truth which these star names teach. Christ has been invested with all the royal rights in the heavens through dominion. It was predicted of him in the scriptures as it is written, he shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne, Zechariah 6:13, which when he brought forth in Christ the anointed one, who when he raised him from the dead, set him at his right hand in the heavenly places, meaning that in the constellation he was already depicted as a royal king, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Right there it is. Every name, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, as it is recorded in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. In Cepheus we have the glorious king of Israel. It is he who shall call Israel his son. To Moses he said, as is recorded in Exodus chapter 4, verse 22, thus saith Yahweh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Now, can a father forget his son? Can the son deny his genetics? Of course not. Now, Satan come to cause us to forget his name for Baal, as it is recorded in the 23rd chapter of the book of Jeremiah, chapters 25, or verses 25 through 26, in the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah. In the 33rd chapter of Jeremiah, after speaking of Israel's restoration, God says, at that time, saith Yahweh, I will be to the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people, and I am to be a father to Israel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is exclusionary, because the Bible says he's coming back for a people that is called by his name. And so then, the only ones that have a promise, the only ones that have a redemptive hope, the only ones that is chained in bondage and are suffering persecution here upon the earth is now the race of the Aryans. We are the most persecuted, enslaved people now upon the planet. We are in Babylon proper, and until we wake out of sleep and rise up and shake the shackles of ignorance and fear and superstition from our bodies and our minds and our souls, we will not have a choice or a chance to redeem ourselves. But he said, I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Here is the foundation of Israel's blessing, not fully made manifest, but as Yahweh reigneth, he will in due time make good his word. For the counsel of Yahweh standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart is to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is Yahweh, and all the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The book of Psalms, chapter 33, verses 11 and 12. Well, that is the story of the constellation of Pisces. one of the great consolations in the heavens. Now, let me give you my name and telephone number, Pastor Buddy, and you can simply call me at area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to write me, just address your cards and your letters to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. Be glad to correspond with you, answer any questions that are concerning you, or the gospel and that which we have taught for the King's sake, that he's soon coming to redeem those that are bound in the shackles of fear, ignorance, and superstition. Arise up, Israel, and be you also ready. Now we are also planning in the late stages of January to be going on shortwave. We'll keep you abreast of that situation. And we appreciate all your cards, your letters, your concerns. We are appreciating especially all those that make these efforts to come and be baptized. Now, if we'd have known that the brother was coming in tonight from Spain, if we'd have known that he was arriving late last night on an air flight out of Spain, and he came in to be baptized today, and we carried it out, if we could have let you have known, those of you that live close by or in driving distance, that you would have liked to come and participated in this glorious day that we've had here, many did come to see and to be witness to his baptizing, and those are the ones that live within 3 or 4 hours driving distance, and that's the only time that we had to give out the call. Now, we got others coming that have announced. We will give an announcement later on that they will be here for baptism coming up very soon, so we'll keep you abreast of all that information, and we believe it's very essential that repentance and baptism in the great name of the King. Now, how and why? Let me give you the how. First of all, nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that anything lives without water. That is animal, plant, in the kingdom. If you are in the aspect of animal, plant, or mineral, you must have water as a substance to survive. Now, why? Simply because Yahweh never took any sacrifice to accept them into himself without it first being washed. Now, we're washed by the water in the Word. Praise Yahweh, and we are symbolically sealed through the ancient art of baptism. This is nothing new, ladies and gentlemen, because of baptism. Remember, everybody in the Old Testament was baptized? You say, oh, I didn't know that. Well, of course they were. The Bible says in the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, that they were all baptized in the Red Sea. Have you ever read that scripture, ladies and gentlemen? So everything that came out of Egypt in darkness must, before it could enter into the promised land, had to be baptized. Now remember, those after that they got their initiation of baptism in the wilderness began to complain and to rebel and to turn back. And Yahweh let every one of those that were redeemed, that complained and murmured, he let them perish in the wilderness, and only the true blue got in. So one-third's making it in tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You be in that one-third majority coming into the kingdom of heaven. Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Caller, time is all gone. We'll see you here tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been a joy. I've enjoyed Jacob Israel. We love you, and we salute you in the great name of Yahweh, wherever you may be. May peace and grace and shalom be upon you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.